Behind us now is Suzuki Junzo from Shark Infested Custard. This track is G-E-M-J, G-E-M-J. We heard Martina Berther and Philip Schlotter. Great sort of creaky track called Sun Trap and Light Wind. Senyawa from their fantastic new one, Ballads for the Survivors. We heard Alkisa 1 acoustic. We heard Taminumada Yoji doing Escape to Your World, and Abeichi Zoku at the top of the set with Rainy Morning. I gotta go make way for Mark Hurst. Tectonic is coming up. Let's let Suzuki ride us out. Okay, this is Freeform Radio, WFMU in East Orange, WMFU in Mount Hope in New York City, and Rockland County at 91.9 FM, online at WFMU.org. Thanks to everybody who pledged today. This is The Hellraiser. It continues. Stay tuned. Bye.
Hey everybody, welcome to Tectonic. My name is Mark Hurst, I'll be your host for the next hour. Thanks so much for joining. I had an unusual experience recently. I want to tell you about this. I went to a protest. Now, there are lots of protests these days about a lot of different topics, but this one was a little bit unusual. This was topical to Tectonic. It was a protest against technology of a sort. This was a protest organized by the growing movement of Luddites, or maybe Neo-Luddites. I'm not sure if they have one name yet for the movement, but they're protesting digital devices, you know, the addictive interfaces, the surveillance, the manipulation, the big tech monopolies, all of that. And it's these devices are taking people away from engaging with the real world, from having face-to-face conversations, let's say, or from reading print books, or just sitting outside and enjoying nature. These digital devices are dimming our experience as humans, as social creatures. Those are some of the complaints that you'll hear from these Luddites. And I count myself among them, by the way. I agree with these complaints. And so I went to this protest. I'm going to tell you more about the protest in a second, but let me just, as a brief digression, let me just say I've covered this Luddite movement on past shows. So this is not a new concept that there is this movement, at least for longtime listeners to the show. Back in October of 2024, I had a live in-studio interview with three members of the New York City Luddite Club. That was Lucy, Sasha, and Jameson. And you can listen to that episode. You can go to tectonic.fm and find that in the archives and listen to that. It was a very good conversation. They talked about their aims and the reasons for their commitment to this neo-Luddite lifestyle. And then in February of 2025, I had a conversation with August Lamb, who is, I think, not specifically a part of the New York Luddite Club, but aligned with what they're doing. She had a pamphlet called You Don't Need a Smartphone, and we had a conversation about that. That was also a live in-studio interview, and you can find that also in the Tectonic Archives. So this is something that I've had interest in for a while. I feel sympathetic to their concerns, and I wanted to be a part of this protest, both as a participant, but also as an interviewer, as a journalist, I guess, seeing what I could learn from some of these participants. So I went out to this protest. This was held in Manhattan, where I live, on September 27, 2025. And the whole thing took place in the Meatpacking District of Manhattan. And if you don't know Manhattan at all, it's downtown. And if you know New York, you know the High Line. And maybe even if you've visited New York, you know the High Line. That's where the protest started, on the southern end of the High Line. If you don't know, the High Line is this park. It's a big tourist attraction now. And it's built on this old, formerly abandoned, elevated railway that used to take the parts of meat from the Meatpacking District out to the wharves on the west side of Manhattan. And now it's this beautiful park that's been up for, I don't know, 10 or 15 years. And so the protests met there. And then once it got started, as you'll hear in my recording, we went down onto ground level and we visited two venues, which you'll hear about in the footage itself. Now, as for the calling it the protest. And the reason I'm being a little bit vague is because I can't say the actual name of the protest on the radio. It's something like Fecal Phone. You might remember I had Cory Doctorow on the show recently talking about his book that I also can't say the title of on the radio. And I said, maybe I can just say the title of Corey's book is Enfecalization. Well, similarly, we're going to call this protest the Fecal Phone Protest. But you can figure out the actual name from what I'm gonna read out to you. The name is an acronym, and here is the expansion. The full name of the protest is Scathing Hatred of Information Technology and the Passionate Hemorrhaging of Our Neoliberal Experience. There you have it. You can work it out for yourself, and you'll hear that again in the footage. If you want to see some photos from the protest, there are a couple on the playlist that you can get to at tectonic.fm. That's T-E-C-H, tonic.fm. I think we'll see one, I think, that I took, and a couple from a loyal listener of the show who was there, which both of those photos look great. In fact, I think that the main image on the playlist for today's episode is by that listener. So you can get a sense from those photos what it was. A very colorful and fun event. And I'm going to play for you this this footage. The first half, you're going to hear how the protest started. I had a couple of brief interviews with some of the participants. You'll hear some of the footage from the protest itself. And then near the end of that first half of the interview, you're going to hear my interview with Logan Lane, who was there as a participant. Logan is one of the founders of the New York City Luddite Club. And I think she came up in conversation when I had the other three members in studio, as I told you about before, in October 2024. And finally, I want to say thanks to Todd Mazursky for production of this audio piece. Todd did a great job on the editing, and I think you're going to enjoy this. Let's go ahead now and listen to the footage of the what we'll call the fecal phone protest from September 27, 2025 in Manhattan. Let's go ahead and hear that now here on Tectonic. Hey, it's Mark Hurst. I'm here at the Highline on September 27, 2025 for the protest that I can't really say the name of on air. I'm here under the Standard Hotel on the Highline, just below 14th Street. And there's a group of 30 to 40 people wearing pastel-colored cardboard cone hats. So let's talk to a few of them and see what we can find out. Are you guys here for the protest?
Yeah.
What are the three of you doing here? First of all, you're wearing pastel-colored cone hats. What's the significance?
We're gnome hats. We're gnomes.
Gnomes that are looking to connect more with our fellow human beings.
The spirit of the gnome, the, like, whimsy and the interaction and all that stuff, it's being, you know, being pushed aside by all this digitalization and phones and stuff, and people don't have time to go out and experience the gnomishness.
I'm a recent gnome convert. I still have too many hours on my phone.
You know, I use digital devices obviously in my everyday life, and you know, I probably couldn't have gotten here today without my phone, but I think you need to take a critical look at pretty much everything you do in your life, and I don't think that many people stop to think about the way they interact with their own devices and how that might actually be isolating them. Social media is a bit of a misnomer, if you will, because you know, you see what all your friends are doing on there, but it's not necessarily a reflection of reality. And everything is highly curated. And I think the further we go into this rabbit hole without taking the time to pause and think about things, you know, the more and more isolated we will become.
I have a bunch of people who are my friends. I don't have their phone numbers. I have their Instagrams. And, like, you also can't just call people anymore. There's, like, all of these new rituals and protocols that have been introduced. So it's, like, it's really difficult to get off of it, and it takes time.
I think there's a time and a place, and unfortunately, the time and place has become all the time everywhere. We should probably limit that, because all the time everywhere, people weren't supposed to have this much stimulation and interaction to millions of connections to billions of people all over the world. It's kind of dangerous for our mental health.
So we just want to encourage people to go out and talk more. Because, you know, this used to be a very, very social city, and that's kind of fading away.
I feel like it's become a bit of a general statement that people don't love how much we're attached to our phones these days, but it's just kind of become this foregone conclusion. It doesn't have to be that way, and events like this incite people to connect with one another in a way that doesn't have to be through social media. It doesn't have to be through our phones. And I think it gives us some of our freedom back as people, really.
I switched to a flip phone a couple months ago. I still use a lot. I have an iPad and a MacBook that I use for school. So I'm not a perfect Luddite, but I don't think you have to be.
I feel like being a Luddite is just a frame of mind.
Yeah.
That's just my own opinion. But maybe we'll smash some technology later, right?
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah.
What's a message to Tectonic listeners that you'd like to deliver?
Go out and meet people and don't just be behind a screen. You can use technology for a lot of good, but for a lot of bad. And I think that a lot of connection comes in person.
The band is warming up. We've got a drum, a tuba, a sax, a flute, a trumpet, and maybe a couple of other instruments. Is the idea that there's going to be a march?
A parade. A parade, yes.
Oh, we meet on the High Line, but does that mean we're going down to street level?
We're going down to street level, yes.
Well, we're going down to 14th Street or something.
Yes, we're going to go to the Tesla store and I think the Apple store.
All right.
Come on in.
Get cozy, people!
Okay, everybody. Here we are at the second ever phone parade. Let's give it up. As you may know, phone is an acronym. It stands for
babies. Is this Google right here?
I'm Google. I'm your friend. I can answer anything you want to ask.
Are you spying on us?
Your data can be trusted with me. We only keep your data in order to give you more relevant searches and in order for our advertisers to more adequately help you with your needs.
I don't know. I think I don't believe you. I don't think I trust you.
I'm your friend, kid. You don't ask other people questions. You don't ask your mom when you got a question. You ask me, kid.
I tell people to get off Google. Is that good?
Nah, I think that that's a stupid reactionary response to the future. We are the future.
Even if it gives us rabies!
Even if it gives us rabies!
He will free the anti-rabies!
All right, everybody. We're going to try and stay on the sidewalk as much as possible. We're going 2 blocks up to the Tesla store.
Can I ask what you're chalking on the sidewalk?
I'm writing no techno titties.
Oh gosh, I can't say that on the radio.
No techno titties. My mom always said get off the techno titty. Whenever I was on my phone growing up. So that's what we're doing here. No more techno titties.
All right, well,
I'm sorry you can't use that.
We'll bleep as much as we can.
You can beep it. I wrote a question. I wrote why, and why are you here? You know, for those people who, you know, aren't buying a Tesla car or don't even have the means to buy a Tesla car but are, you know, fascinated by the ethos of the company, and to question, you know, why are you so fascinated and what is it that is so fascinating, just to promote a little more introspection.
I wrote Homo Gnomes Unite.
Homo Gnomes Unite. What will you write in front of the Apple store?
Probably the same thing. Aren't they the same thing? Apple and Tesla? I don't know. I don't know. I hope to see some iconoclasm, some genuine iconoclasm. You know, because I'm from an Abrahamic religion, so we appreciate iconoclasm.
Can I ask what you wrote on the sidewalk?
Silicon Valley.
Do you want to say more about your sentiment?
Just thinking about ethical use of technology and how the amount of money being poured into the industry right now is really corrupting our attention economy, and we want to reclaim that.
Let's see what some of these messages are. Billionaires will never be cool. Don't buy Nazi cars. Go to a library. That might be my favorite. Power to the people. Don't be a phony. Elon's watching you. Well, isn't that the truth? Doge kills. Your phone is killing you. I am not a robot. So many good messages.
I'm sitting here with Logan Lane, founder of the NYC Luddite Club, a genuine celebrity in the movement. Welcome.
Thank you, sir.
Now, November of 2024, some members of the New York Luddite Club were live in studio with me at Tectonic. We missed you there, but we talked about your good work in co-founding that club. How's it going since then?
It's been going swimmingly. So in November 2024, we had just, that past August, we had just submitted a request to the IRS for 501c3 status. We were up and running as a nonprofit and trying to spread our clubs around the country. I can't imagine we had more than 5 clubs at that point, but we've now received a lot of interest. Someone asked me today, and I surprised myself recalling how many people had reached out wanting to start clubs. I mean, it was upwards of 45 people around the world wanting to start clubs. We now have approximately 25 clubs up and running around the country. Yeah, and we're just kind of, we're all spread out now. We're the folks that were in the studio with you back in November are all off at college now around the country, but we're starting clubs everywhere and trying to support people as best as we can and starting their own.
Congratulations. Very impressive considering that you are all of 20 years old, right?
I'm 20. They're all 18.
What is your pitch for people when they ask you, what is the Luddite Club? What is this movement that you're starting? How do you describe it?
The way I describe it in professional terms is, and I'll give you the less professional pitch after, is connecting young people to the communities and the knowledge to conquer big tech's addictive agendas. That's what I use when talking about the nonprofit, but I think we're really just trying to build community offline. We're trying to give people the resources to do that in their cities and their towns and their universities and high schools around the country, and just trying to spread this techno-resistant message as best as we can. It's really enriched our lives. We have we've achieved so much more fulfilling lives offline, and we want to be able to create that and help people facilitate that for themselves and others around them as best as we can. But then when I'm kind of being very casual, I'll just be like, we just hang out and have flip phones and be with each other. It's very, very simple. We have fun. We really have fun. I have met so many people through this movement, and I cannot name a single person in the technocritical resistance who I do not believe is an incredible, interesting, hardworking, fascinating person. And just connecting those people.
If somebody wanted to get involved, either to see if there was an existing club in their area or if there wasn't, to try to start one, what should they do?
They should go to our website, theludditeclub.org. And we've got an address on there for our P.O. box in Brooklyn. And you can send us a letter about wanting to start a club. And now that we're all not in Brooklyn and we only go to the P.O. box every month or so, I should actually do that while I'm here right now. And we'll write back to you as soon as we can and tell you how to go about starting it. We only ask that you try and keep in touch, whether that is via letter or email, so that we can, you know, give you resources as best we can and whatnot, and just know that you're out there, so that if anyone reaches out to us saying, is there a Luddite Club in this town, we can say, yes, there is. Go to them.
Is there also a printed newsletter that you send out?
Funny you should ask. There is a printed newsletter. We just had our third one. We just finished our third one, which is about, it's called the Luddite Dispatch. Our third edition was about typewriting poets of New Orleans, who I had the pleasure of not only meeting and interviewing, but after talking to this one guy named Random Cushing for 5 minutes, he was like, all right, I'm going to the store and I'm going to leave you here with my typewriter and my stand and you're going to write for me. So I ended up writing poems for some passerbys. And yeah, so that's our newsletter. It's coming out. This one is coming out soon. I think you can't make the mailing list at this point for that one, but we can get it to you some other way if you really want that one. Our edition before that, number two, was about a small town outside of Paris where they've banned smartphones in public places. They were then told by the French government that they are no longer allowed to do that, and we kind of went and saw the aftermath in Semport. And yeah, so that's our newsletter.
That was you and Gus Lamb.
Gus Lamb, yes.
Gus was on the program a few months ago, and it was nice to hear her about her journey from being an influencer to a flip phone user.
Her story is so interesting, and I'm so happy she's out there sharing it these days.
What's your message to people who are unlikely to join a Luddite Club, but they're intrigued, they're interested by the things you're saying? Do you have some baby steps they can take to start their own journey?
I think the first thing you can do is, which it sounds like this type of person already has been doing, which is developing some level of consciousness around their tech use. You know, starting to think about, how much am I using this thing? When am I using it? What kind of feelings are developing that are leading me to use it? And thinking about times when you're not using it and how that feels. And, you know, there must be some kind of curiosity that's brewing that's making you intrigued by this concept of unplugging. And so to really lean into that and try and develop an overarching consciousness towards your use, I think, is really the first step. We are not really out here to tell anyone what to do with their technology. You know, we know what helped us. We know what helped the people around us. All of the people who we've quote unquote convinced to get offline, we did not proselytize. You know, we basically said, this is what happened to us. You can join us if you'd like to. We're happy to help you, but we are not pushing anything. And so I hear of sort of a reluctance to be part of a Luddite Club, but that is exactly the space you go to when you are curious. You know, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to do any drastic measures or anything. You know, you're just there to listen and to hear from people if you'd like, and kind of involve yourself in their community. And so, you know, not only would I say kind of develop this greater consciousness, but go to a Luddite Club. I mean, what's the word? Just experiment. Be curious.
Logan Lane, keep up your excellent and impressive work.
Thank you, sir. You keep it up, too.
All right, let's take it to the Apple Store!
And we're back. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Tectonic. My name is Mark Hurst. I'm your host. We're halfway, or maybe a little over halfway, through my field recording of my time at the protest against smartphones. This was held in Manhattan on September 27, 2025. And my time there, as you just heard, included an interview with Logan Lane, one of the founders of the New York City Luddite Club that's gotten a lot of press and attention, and as you heard her say, has been influential in encouraging others to set up their own Luddite clubs around the country, around the world. Incidentally, if you want a link to the website she mentioned, well, it's theludditeclub.org, but I've also posted the link at the playlist for today's show, which you can find at tectonic.fm. That's tectonic.fm. And the playlist has a bunch of other resources, a bunch of other links, and several photos from the event itself, so you can get a visual sense of what it looked like. There's also the event poster that announced the event, and emblazoned at the top of that image is the name of the protest, which I cannot say on air, but you can read it for yourself at tectonic.fm. Let's go ahead now and listen to the remainder of my time at the smartphone protest here on Tectonic.
Here at the Luddite Rally, Luddite Noms, we stare down the Apple Store. They just released a new iPhone to suck in your time, your energy, your eyeballs for even more hours of your life. We're gonna have Jackie give us a speech reminding us what it means to be a human / gnome.
I had my speech typed out from a typewriter. It was in my pocket. It is now gone. Yeah! Straight from the heart, everybody. Let's hear it. Oh, yeah! I am
an animal!
We are animals! And we all come from our mothers. We are Mama's creation. Yes. And I'll tell you something else. Language is our human creation. Language does something pretty good for us. Can I get a cheer right now? That's how powerful it is. Thank you, band. And I must say, we all belong to this earth. Do we act like it, though?
No.
Let's say you lose your birth certificate. Bureaucracy. Oh, I just lost my birth documentation. Am I alive? Yes! It doesn't matter if you have a birth certificate. It doesn't matter! It doesn't matter if you can read. You're still a person. You're still a human on Earth. It doesn't matter if you have nonverbal autism and literally cannot communicate. You still belong here! You may think that going on the train is a good moment to use your phone. It is not. Every minute is precious. Every minute is precious. Every moment is inescapable. You think that you can go on your phone and escape it? No! Your brain, your body might be like, oh, my head hurts, and you can't escape that. You must listen to your human body. You must.
Listen!
15 years of your life is gone if you spend 5 hours a day on your phone by age 70. 15 years of your life, 15 years of your life spent alone. The people in your phone you give yourself. Freedom. Thank you, everybody. We don't think it would be fair to criticize these technologies without a fair trial. Do we have our lawyers here? Lawyer? Here we are. iPhone changed the world since 2007, created by a madman. Do you see this? This is a lifeline. This is your safety and your sense in a world that is mad and crazy. When you need to call your Uber Eats driver to see if your food's arrived at 2 a.m. when you're high off your mind, what's gonna be there for you? Your phone! You're tired at work and just want to lay back and get all the work done, what are you gonna do?
Go to the beach!
Go to ChatGPT! Yeah. Phone protects you! Your phone is a necessary thing and...
Your Honor?
The phone deserves its time of day! Today to present this object and everything it has done to our lives. For how many hours have been wasted looking at this little existential rectangle? How many hours could you have spent with your loved ones and the people you care about out here in the world, but instead you are scrolling on Instagram? I would like to accuse the defense of supporting a product that is made from child slave labor in the Congo. How do we feel about that, folks?
No!
I rest my case.
Does anyone have a quick personal anecdote or want to share their screen time?
I've been thinking a lot about how I spend my time in my bedroom, and I was reminded that when I was young, when I would go into my bedroom, it would be a place of play and creativity and rest. And now my bedroom has become somewhere where I go on my phone, and I hate the iPhone for taking away my playfulness.
I'm Tejas. I was raised by an iPad. I wasn't able to talk to people until I was 25 years old. I used to hide in my room and make money for tech giants. I used to spit and push buttons all day and think that made my life good. And I would listen to them when they tell me that that made me better than other people. I am here! Yeah. I'm going to stay here!
What should the penalty be for these technologies?
Death.
I heard a resounding death. Do we have an executioner somewhere?
Yes!
Well, the event looks like it's wrapping up. It's almost 5 p.m. Most of the participants are still here, still wearing the conical gnome hats. Band is still playing, as you can hear. And people are breaking up into little clumps to talk and exchange contact info, I guess. Still more chants going on with the band. This has been a great event. And we're back. If you are just tuning in, you're listening to Tectonic. My name is Mark Hurst. I'll be your host for the remainder of the show. We just heard something very unusual here at Tectonic. It was a field recording. I did some interviews in the street at a protest against smartphones and addictive, manipulative, beastly, monopolistic technology in general. Run by a group of young Neo-Luddites based in New York City. And the protest, as I said at the beginning of the show, had a name that I cannot say on the air, but it's something like Fecal Phone, much the same way I called Cory Doctorow's recent book in our recent interview, In Fecalization. If you'd like to see the original event poster that has the name clearly stated across the top, you can go to the playlist, which is at tectonic.fm, tectonic.fm. You can find it there. It's an acronym. And again, as you heard in the event recording itself, the full name is Scathing Hatred of Information Technology and the Passionate Hemorrhaging of Our Neoliberal Experience. So there you have it. I want to say thanks to Logan Lane for her time in sitting down with me during the protest to talk about what's happening with the Luddite Club. And again, thanks to Todd Mazursky for producing the audio, the whole audio segment. I thought he did a great job. And I'd like to do another field recording sometime. So maybe we'll see. Maybe there will be another protest that is topical to Tectonic or some other event. Which would be potentially interesting and informative for us to listen to. So you can stay tuned for that. I also want to say on the playlist, there are a bunch of links to some other resources I mentioned before. There's a link to the LudditeClub.org. There's also a link to the band. You heard the protest band. They've been around for a while. They're based in New York. They're called the Rude Mechanical Orchestra. And there is a link to their site. Their site has snippets of their songs. And I believe they have a page on Bandcamp as well, if you want to check that out. So there's that. There's also links to the previous interviews here at Tectonic of
members of that Luddite movement. We've got the Luddite Club members from October 2024, and then August Lamb, who Logan Lane mentioned in our conversation. August Lamb was here in person in February 2025. I should also mention that one of the members of the New York City Luddite Club, who was in studio in October 2024, was recently covered, or included, I should say, in a Wall Street Journal article. This is from October 6, 2025. The headline is, "Young people are falling in love with old technology." And the excerpt that I want to read for you says, "Lucy Jackson uses a phone that can do little besides make a call and, with some effort, send a text. That complicates life for a college freshman in 2025. But for Jackson, who uses paper maps and calls the local cab company when she needs a ride, the added challenges of low-tech life are a small price to pay." So there's an example. I was glad to see the Wall Street Journal covering this movement and including our friend of the show, Lucy, was there in the article. And it shows that there is a way to chart a path forward that's more healthy than the default that the tech companies want us to embrace. They want us to do whatever they tell us to do. And yet we have these young neo-Luddites that are marching to a different drum, so to speak, and showing that there is a way to live and to thrive in this technology-saturated society by saying no to a bunch. Just say yes to some of it, I guess. You don't have to be completely off. That would be very difficult to be completely off. But to say no as the default and to be very thoughtful about your choices. I'm going to say a little bit more about the protest here in a second, but before I do, I just want to take a moment to remind you that WFMU is in the middle of our October fundraiser. It's called the Hellraiser, and this one is really important for us because we this time of year, the station needs some cash, and especially this year, it's really important. Because we at WFMU, we lost our community service grant this past July. This is something that has been very helpful to the station. For the last 20 years, we've been getting a community service grant for $200,000 every year, and that accounts for 8% of WFMU's budget. And that just disappeared on us. And so we really want to ask you, the listeners, to dig deep if you can, chip in if you can. Of course, not everybody can. That's fine if it's not a good time for you. But if you do have a few extra shekels, I would ask for you to chip in. I want you to go to WFMU.org and click the pledge button and chip in a little bit to help this great station, this great community. That's such a privilege for me to be a part of, and I'm a volunteer here. I'm a donor myself to the station, and I hope you will chip in as well. We also have some great swag as always. If you pitch in $50, you can either get our Jersey Devil T-shirt by Alicia Burbenik, or a 30-year anniversary reprint, the WFMU Cubist Delight T-shirt by Mary Fleener. You can get either one of those for $50 or chip in $100 and you get them both plus a DJ premium. So as always, great fashion choices available here at WFMU for you to wear, and great and important material for you to listen to with your ears. And whatever you may think of this show, I hope you'll listen to other shows at WFMU. There is just a wealth of incredible DJs and curation and creativity that goes on the airwaves and our alternate streams. We have three of those, which you can get to at WFMU.org. This is well worth your support. So thanks again. Again, please go to WFMU.org and click pledge. Now, I want to say a little bit more about this protest. I want to clarify a few things. I said at the very beginning of that field recording, when I got to the gathering point on the High Line, I said, it looks like there's 30 to 40 people there. And that was accurate at the time, but that was at the very beginning of people gathering. When it got started, more people had shown up, and I think people joined along the way. I think at its peak, the peak was probably when we got to the Apple Store, I would say there were about 100 people in that crowd. It was a well-attended group. Now, I would say the average age was probably Gen Z, probably in their 20s, but not exclusively. There were people outside of that age range, as I am, and I was happy to see that there were people who were curious and were a couple of them were putting on gnome caps and joining in once they heard what the protest was about. By the way, I still don't understand the connection to gnomes. All I can think is that garden gnomes are fun and cute and benign, and maybe they chose that. As you can see on the playlist at tectonic.fm, there's a photo of people wearing the gnome caps. They were colorful and they were fun, and that set the tone for the entire event. As you heard, it was not strident. People weren't getting called out. It wasn't a bunch of negativity. It was the opposite. It was fun. It was playful. It was humorous. And there was music and there was color. I also didn't mention there were puppets. There was the chant about, even if we get rabies, we will free the iPad babies. That was a little strange, but there was a baby puppet that was, it looked like it was in a crib that was set up right by this giant iPad screen. I mean, it was all cardboard, but you know, it was like a puppet iPad, I guess. And eventually in the interviews around the time, or the testimonials, I guess, outside the Apple Store when they did the court trial, they put the mic up to the baby, and the baby amazingly spoke about how it doesn't want to be raised by an iPad. So it was a lot of fun, and I felt like it was issuing an open invitation. The organizers had extra gnome caps, and they were offering them to people. Come join us. So I thought that was the right way, exactly the right way to run that protest. It was really well organized, well executed. It kept moving. It did not go slack at any point. It didn't get boring, you know. And when it hit 5 o'clock, it was over. And people, as you heard, people, a few of them kept talking. The band kept playing for a little bit, but then people just scattered, and it was really nice. The thing about the trial, I don't know if this came through, but the organizers didn't really have a judge, but they had a master of ceremonies, I guess, who called up the prosecution and the defense. Well, starting with the defense, and you heard the defense first say, I want to defend Apple's devices, big tech's devices. What are you going to do late at night if you're hungry? You're going to use your device to order some food. And what are you going to do if you're lonely? You're going to use ChatGPT. And of course, the crowd got into it and was booing at the appropriate moments. And then the prosecutor came and said the things you would expect. The prosecutor would say, which you heard. But the reason I'm telling you this is because of what happened afterwards. They said, well, what do you think what should the sentence be? And people said, death, death, of course. And so then they brought out death. Okay, so it was a person wearing a death costume, you know, a death mask in a dark robe or something. And this didn't make the footage. I don't know if it would have really fit. But it was sort of funny that the person in the death costume, I think it was he introduced himself and he said, yes, I'm death. And he holds up this stone. This, like, it's about the size of a rock that you can hold in your hand. It was a pretty large rock. And he said, I want to introduce you to Rock. And everyone knew what was going to happen because there was an iPhone, there was an iPad, and there was a laptop just sitting there having received a death sentence, all three of them. And death shows up with a rock. And everyone is just, you know, they're clapping and cheering in anticipation. And Death says, I loved this line. He said, this is Rock. Oh, yeah. me and Rock, we go way back. And so then he takes the iPhone. The iPhone was up first. And that's when they did the countdown that you heard in the footage. They're saying, what was it, 3, 2, 1 or 1, 2, 3. And the band was getting into it, playing alongside 1, 2, 3. And then when you heard the crowd just going bananas, that was the guy in the death costume taking the rock and physically smashing it against the iPhone. I mean, he was wailing on it. It was just sitting on the pavement. If you know the Apple Store on 14th Street, there's a little pedestrian plaza. So we weren't right in front of the store in that we were obstructing anybody from getting in and out of the store. We were a respectful distance away, but we were in the pedestrian plaza. And so the iPhone was just on the pavement right there. And the guy in the death costume was just bam, bam, bam like that. And I got to tell you, it was cathartic. It was it was really cathartic. And then he did it again for the iPad and smashed it to smithereens. And then a third time, he brought out this laptop. I guess it was a MacBook or something. It was an Apple laptop. And he just smashed the heck out of it with that rock. Now, I would not suggest this for anyone who wants to do this at home. Had I been advising the organizers, I would have said, make sure to put on safety glasses. And I don't know, friends and family know I'm very concerned about safety. I want everyone to be safe. So I'm not suggesting that you smash this yourself. But if you do organize a protest that involves smashing surveillance devices, just make sure you have the proper protection, especially the proper eye protection. Anyway, he just smashed it. And people, I think, really, that was a fitting climax to this event. A little bit of controlled violence against the inert devices, the non-sentient inert devices of Silicon Valley, right in view of those large windows of the Apple Store. I bring up the windows to say there were people on the inside of the store, including employees of the Apple Store, you could tell by their shirts, who were standing at the windows and watching the proceedings out on the sidewalk, out in the pedestrian plaza. And I was happy. You know, maybe they'll be curious enough so that next time if there's a smartphone protest, a surveillance phone protest, they'll come out and join us next time. But anyway, I thought this was real. Oh, the other thing is, the chalk messages outside the Tesla store, I read a few of them for you, but there were dozens. That was one where the organizers were handing out chalk to the participants, and they were just squatting down on the sidewalk. This was right outside the Tesla store and writing all sorts of messages. That was really interesting. There is a photo on the playlist. If you go to tectonic.fm, tectonic.fm, and click into the playlist for this show, the protest against smartphones, you'll see a photo of a few of those messages outside the Tesla store, which is just below 14th Street in Manhattan. And, you know, that didn't hurt anybody. And the next rain that came, I'm sure, washed them all off. But that was that also was cathartic to see people really getting out their frustration, their irritation, both with Tesla, but Tesla as a symbol of the hegemony of Silicon Valley and this arrogant usurpation of these monopolistic beasts of our society and our social relations and our attention. So good on these organizers for doing something about this and organizing and carrying out such a positive and fun event that invites people to think differently about their relationships to these toxic devices. Yes, it's going to be very difficult for us not to use the devices at all, but it shows that there is a way to question the devices and occasionally to say no, that this is not always, the default does not always have to be yes, which is what these big tech companies want out of us. That's all the time I have today. Until next time, friends, I've got some homework for you. I want you to avoid Apple, abandon Amazon, forget Facebook, and whatever you do, get off Google. You are listening to the greatest radio station in the world, WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County, and 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. And I thought we would go out to the Rude Mechanical Orchestra, the same band from the protest, with their song, We Shall Overcome. Have a great week, everybody. See you next time.
That sweet sound, that means it's time for another installment of It's Complicated, an hour of prog and prog adjacent music. That's this program. I'm your host, Dave Mandel. I'm here every Monday, right exactly at this time, 7 p.m. Eastern. Thanks so much for joining me. Always lovely to see, metaphorically, see all your faces out there. We're going to start tonight's show. We'll dive right into the hard stuff. We're going to hear a group from Norway called Soft Fog. Soft Fog with two F's for some reason. And a record that was released just recently, maybe 4 or 5 months ago, in 2025. And this is going to be a track from an album called Focus. And maybe that's some kind of joke, because I think there is some influence here. They show some influence of the group Focus, the Dutch prog-ish band Focus. Again, this is Soft Fog, and we're going to hear a track called Pocus with a P, and get ready, this is going to be some very fast playing.